Very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92 with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from IMI Nutrition and Madison Healthcare Services right here on the radio once again this afternoon. Welcome, Amber.
Hey, thank you.
And see you for a while.
I know. I think I was on a field trip last week.
I think you were.
Yes.
And you're always doing something.
I know.
Yeah, that's good, though. You're busy.
Right? That's a good thing.
That's right. And working sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, I do that, too.
Sometimes.
On occasion. Even though it looks like I'm on vacation all the time in this job, you know, it does involve a little work occasionally.
Every once in a while.
Every now and then. So anyway, we're going to talk today about body composition and visceral fat, which is one of my favorite subjects to talk about.
I know it's hard to get you to talk about anything else sometimes.
It really is, once I get rolling on that subject. So, well, tell us about it. What's that all about?
Well, I thought this was a good time to kind of address this again. We've talked a little bit about body composition in the past, but, you know, the pool's open and the weather's warming up and we're putting away the sweaters and breaking out the shorts and the swimsuits. And sometimes that brings with it some feelings for some people. So I like to talk about body composition versus weight and appreciating our bodies and talking about all the wonderful things regardless of what the scale says. So first of all, before we talk about all of this, I think it is so, so important that regardless of your weight or your body shape or wherever you're at in your health journey, enjoy summer. Get out there. Be active. Make memories. Take pictures. Embrace where you're at, because there's nothing we can do, even if you're not at a goal weight, there's nothing you can do about where you're at right now, other than just change what you're doing moving forward in the ways that you can. But I think it's really important as we talk about body composition and visceral fat specifically is what we're going to hit on a lot today, that it really isn't about the scale at all. You cannot look at an individual and determine just by their size how much visceral fat they have, because we have very thin people who can have relatively high levels of visceral fat. And visceral fat is the harmful fat for our body, or the most harmful fat for our body. So when we think about the different things we're looking at when we look at body composition, we're not going to go into all the details of fluids and things like that, but some of the big things we look at are lean muscle mass, which is essential. Lean muscle mass is associated with longevity and overall health and endurance and energy levels and all sorts of stuff like that. And that comes from the movements that we do, the strength training that we do, the lifting, the activity, stuff like that. Then we have a couple different kinds of fat that we look at. We look at adipose fat, and adipose fat can be further broken down into white adipose, which tends to be just more kind of benign to some extent fat storage. And we have brown adipose. So brown adipose is actually loaded with mitochondria. Mitochondria are the powerhouse of our cells. Brown adipose helps regulate our body temperature. The squishy fat that babies often have, a lot of it tends to be a higher percentage of that brown adipose tissue. Because again, babies are coming out of a nice warm environment. They need some brown adipose to help keep them warm when they're out here.
Makes sense.
Yes. So brown adipose, we still have it as adults. It's better for our bodies than the white adipose. But then we have visceral fat. Ooh. And visceral fat, that's our harmful fat. So more so than the white adipose even. It's firmer. So it tends to be a more solid version of fat. It likes to gather around our organs, which is not a great place for it to be, because that's when we can start to see some of our organ function decline, or one of the reasons we can see organ function decline, especially liver.
Your kidneys and your intestines and your abdominal muscles are all get surrounded by this stuff.
They do. So when we have that really firm, kind of a bigger belly that's really firm, that tends to be visceral fat. If it's squishier, your squishy fat tends to be more adipose. But it's that firm stuff that we're more concerned about.
I'm checking it out right now.
Are you?
I'll give you the analysis
later. Does it feel pretty squishy?
Yeah, pretty squishy.
There we go. That's a good thing. Now, checking your waist circumference is one of the easiest ways to kind of estimate visceral fat, because our visceral fat, by and large, is in our abdomen. Plenty of adipose fat can gather there as well, but that's where most of our visceral fat comes into play. But you can be thin and still have that fat around your organs. And we'll talk about the different kinds of things that impact why it might be growing there. So this is why I always encourage people to pay more attention to your body composition, what you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're eating, how you're moving, than just the number on the scale. The number on the scale does not tell us how much of different kinds of fat we have. It doesn't tell us how much muscle mass we have. It doesn't tell us how hydrated we are. None of it. So what impacts visceral fat? Well, and if we have too much, this is probably an important piece here, too much visceral fat is linked to increased risk for diabetes. It's linked to increased risk for organ failure of different kinds. It's linked to earlier death, cardiovascular disease, all sorts of chronic conditions that can be linked to increased levels of visceral fat. So there are some things we can't change. Genetics, for one. We find more and more research coming out that genetics really do play a pretty big role in our body shape and in our weight. It's not modifiable. We can't change our genetics. It's what we're born with. And there are certainly some that increase our body's predisposition to hold on to visceral fat. Our ethnicity is another one. So most studies have been done in Europeans, but we see compared to Europeans, Asians tend to have higher visceral fat. Africans tend to have lower visceral fat. So the ethnicity, which is also sometimes going to kind of go hand in hand with those genetics, can also impact just how our body tends to hold on to fat of different kinds, and even muscle mass, how we gain muscle mass. Low birth weight. Not much you can do about the weight that you were born at, but some emerging evidence suggests that people who have low birth weight are at increased risk of a higher visceral fat percentage as they get older. Age itself. The older we get, the more visceral fat we hold on to. So there's that. Part of that is hormonal changes that we have as we age. Some of it's our body wearing out a little bit, as it does as we get older.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So age alone, again, we can't change that. And then certain medications. I certainly would never encourage somebody to go off a medication. We won't even go into that in detail. But there are things we can change. Diet is a big one. And one of the things that brought up visceral fat as a topic for me today is that there was a study published recently on turmeric reducing visceral fat. So you can't live an otherwise not super healthy lifestyle and just take a teaspoon of turmeric every day and call it good. But incorporating turmeric into an otherwise healthy diet that's lower in refined sugars and processed foods and good and lean proteins, fiber-rich fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts and seeds, things like that. Low in alcohol, especially beer and spirits. Those tend to increase our visceral fat. Moderate levels of red wine might decrease visceral fat, but if you do not drink, I would not encourage you to start drinking red wine.
And it's moderate's the word there.
It is. Moderate is an important one, and that's 1 to 2 glasses a day at most, and even that might be too much. Cardiovascular activity, getting that heart rate up, biking, walking, jogging. I know you are a big jogger.
Jogging is one of my favorites, yes.
Cardio tends to be that most important part to getting visceral fat down. Don't smoke. Easier said than done for those who are smokers.
That's right. I gave it up. You can do it.
That's right. You're capable. You can do it. And doing so can help reduce visceral fat. Getting good quality of sleep. 8 hours is kind of where it plateaus, but that 7 or 8 hours of sleep for most people. Managing your stress. Chronic stress increases our body's likelihood of holding on to that visceral fat. So cutting back on stress, easier said than done, I know as well. But finding those good stress management techniques, whether it's journaling, meditation, prayer, socialization, nature, whatever that might be. And I just like to say, you know, you can measure visceral fat. Insurance typically won't cover it. There's things like DEXA scans, MRIs, in-bodies, which are bioelectrical impedance analyses. They do that at gyms often, and it can be within about 1% to 2% of those more accurate ones. So it's a good estimate. Even that waist circumference can be a good estimate of visceral fat. But just changing those lifestyle behaviors, it doesn't necessarily matter if you've got that measurement.
Okay. Well, as I always say, eat a healthy diet, choose your portions wisely, replace those sugary drinks,
mm-hmm.
and get active.
That's right.
Yeah, try to set a good example there.
All easier said than done, and right. I know that.
All right. Well, Amber, appreciate the info. If they need more, how can they find you?
You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com, or on Facebook at imunutrition, or come on up and see me at the clinic here in Madison.
All right. Well, we will talk to you again next Tuesday on another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.